right back.
He's in the hall.
We're going to open the Education Committee, the Senate Education Committee, June 1, 2017, and our last meeting in which we can actually pass legislation. We do have some set up for some hearings next week, and we'll keep those in mind. So with that, I'm going to start with start the bottom. House, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3318. And this one has to do with behavioral analysis. We'll hear a statement from our legislative, what do we call you? I got to get the right one today. Analyst. I keep saying my administrator, but legislative analyst.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, House Bill 3318 requires school districts to conduct a functional behavioral analysis and develop a behavior intervention plan for every student who has an individualized education plan or places other students or staff at risk of serious bodily harm because of behavior. The bill requires functional behavioral analysis and allows behavioral intervention plans to have input from service providers in development, review, or revision. It allows behavior intervention plans to inform service providers about relevant behavior, requires service providers to be informed of any portions of behavior intervention plans that are relevant and any training opportunities for the service providers, requires notifications to members of IEP team or 504 plan team regarding changes to behavior intervention plan, defines behavior intervention plan, functional behavioral analysis, service provider, and serious bodily injury. The A5 amendment removes the emergency clause, changes definitions of behavior intervention plan, changes functional behavioral analysis to functional behavioral assessment, requires school districts to conduct functional behavioral assessments and develop, review, or revise intervention plans within 45 days of receiving parental consent for any student who has an individualized education plan or a 504 plan and has placed themselves, other students, or staff at imminent risk of serious bodily injury. Requires that intervention plans appropriately address students' needs, requires that service providers involved in incidents be provided an opportunity to offer input. Takes effect July 1st, 2018 for the 2018-19 school year.
Okay. And that A5s are an agreement between the parties that were opposed earlier, so I see nodding heads out there that they're not opposed to the new amendment. So, okay. So with that.
Question.
Yes.
There were in that amendment, I think there was a concern, I just didn't see it here, about parental consent, in which parental consent wasn't obtained. Maybe Senator Gelser has this too. Was that addressed?
In lines 15 to and 16, on page 1, within 45 days of receiving parental consent to conduct the assessment.
Within receiving.
Yep.
That was a concern that was raised by Beaverton, and I very much appreciate Senator Gelser and the committee for dealing it to address that, because what happens if you don't have that was one of the questions that came up,
and
it's just sort of
Thank you, Senator Gilson. Yep. Thank you, and thank you, Soren. I won't say all the things that Senator Gelser said about you last time, but you can go back and look at our record if you want to find out. With that, Senator Lipkin.
Chair Roblin, I will make an amendment that the A5 amendment, excuse me, make a motion that the A5 amendment dated 5/31/17 be adopted.
So Senator Lithgow moves the dash A5 amendments to House Bill 3318 dated 5/31/17 be adopted. Is there any further discussion? Is there any opposition? So moved. Senator Lithgow.
Chair Roblin, I move the House Bill 3318 with the A5 as amendment with the A5 amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Lithgow moves House Bill 3318 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so passed. Please, sir, Representative Senator, I'm getting back again. Senator Gelser.
Okay. Just call me Senator.
That's right.
It's
that's right. Senator Gelser. Okay, let's go. We'll just move up from the bottom. I did that in a previous committee. It worked out really well. So we're going to open, close the work session on 3318, open a work session on 3289. This one had to do with higher ed competency-based education, looking at it. So with that, we'll hear a short explanation from our administrator.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, House Bill 3289 requires the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to submit an annual report to the interim committees of the legislature describing progress made in providing competency-based education in public post-secondary institutions. Requires report to describe the effectiveness of expanding competency-based education and the granting of post-secondary degrees on the basis of competency-based education. Identify issues and barriers, including post-secondary accreditation standards. Analyze competency-based education models and determine which models have been successful and recommend specific policy changes and initiatives that public post-secondary institutions may implement to expand competency-based education.
So with that, Senator Lithgow.
Chair Roblin, I move House Bill 3289 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Lithgow moves House Bill 3289 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved. Senator Lithgow, you want to carry that one?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. So we'll open a, close the work session on 3289, open a work session on 3288. We'll hear a short explanation plus the A6 amendments.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, House Bill 3288 requires each public institution of higher education to submit a report to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means as part of the institution's budget presentation during each odd-numbered year regular legislative session. Specifies that each report must identify legislative mandates imposed on institutions, the impact of legislative mandates on costs of higher education, causes of increase in administrative positions, and actions taken at the institution to monitor and control cost drivers. The A6 amendment amends the legislative direction, amends the legislative declaration, requires public universities to submit their reports to HEC by January 1st of each odd-numbered year, listing the legislative mandates, the impact of those mandates on costs, the causes of the increase in administrative positions, and actions taken to monitor and control cost drivers. The amendment requires HEC to compile a unified report and submit that report during its budget presentation to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, effective January 1st, 2019.
Thank you. This It is interesting for me, this bill, but let's have a motion first. Senator Lithgow?
Chair Roblin, I move the A6 amendment to House Bill 3286. The A6 amendment is dated 5/25/17.
Senator Lithgow moves the A6 amendments to House Bill 3288, dated 5/25/17. Any discussion? Any opposition to the amendment? Seeing none, so moved. Senator Lithgow.
Chair Roblin, I move House Bill 3288 as amended with the -6 A6 amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Lithgow moves House Bill 3288 as amended by the A6 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. As one of the people who sits on Ways and Means as well, these questions get asked all the time of HEC, even though they can't answer them, so I hope that the information goes back and forth. And I'm thinking about K-12 sometimes. We put a lot of mandates on them, and then we don't ever look at it and see what it really costs. And I would think it should be helpful for Ways and Means people to see the cost that we incur on higher ed through mandates that we give to them. So I hope this works out as one that's beneficial for everybody over time. So with that, is there any other discussion on House Bill 3288? As amended. Seeing none, is there any opposition to 3288? So moved. Carrier? I can carry that bill. Unless there's somebody else that really wants to.
I'd like to.
Would you?
Yes.
Okay.
I may make an additional.
Okay. We'll put Senator Cruz on that one. We're going to close the work session on House Bill 3288. We're going to open a work session on 3216. Short explanation.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, House Bill 3216 requires the Chief Education Office to conduct a study on identifying practices that assist public school students in impoverished families.
Senator Lithgow, want to make a motion?
Certainly. Chair Roblin, my motion today will be to move House Bill 3216 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Lithgow moves House Bill 3216 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? I want to say there were a time when I thought that a couple of these bills probably didn't need to move forward. I got a lot of input from some other people saying, we've started this process, we just need to finish it and make sure that the report gets done from a bill we passed the last session. This is one of our good representative Wisnitz's bill. And he came and talked to me, so did a couple other people. It has no cost to it, so I feel like the information would be good for us to have. So.
The interesting part about this is it's a direction to the chief education office, which sunsets in 2018.
They got to get the report
out
quickly.
Better get the ball rolling.
So with that, is there any further discussion? Any opposition to 3216? Seeing none, so moved. I will carry that one. I'll spread these out. So next, we're going to close our work session on 3216. We're going to open a work session on 3170. Go ahead and give our explanation and the amendments that have been worked out.
Chair Rowland, members of the committee, House Bill 3170 extends collective bargaining rights to certain public university faculty members whose duties have an academic rather than administrative focus. It applies to bargaining units certified or recognized on or after the effective date. It applies to agreements entered into on or after the effective date. The A3 amendment requires agreement between labor organizations and public employers in order for the Employment Relations Board to designate a bargaining unit as appropriate if the bargaining unit includes a faculty member who supervises one or more faculty members or a faculty member who is supervised by another faculty member.
Okay, I'm going to have Jock come up and just make sure that there was a lot of discussion before this bill happened, and I want to make sure that we have an amendment that has an agreement to it. So thank you for being here.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you. Members of the committee, Mr. Chair, I'm Jock Mills. I'm the Director of Government Relations for Oregon State University. As you may recall, Donna Chastain was before you when you heard the bill, raised concerns about the potential situation where you would have faculty members who were supervisors being in the same bargaining unit as those they supervised, and what the -3 amendments do is address that situation so that the faculty who are supervisors at OSU, they're generally supervisors forever. They're not moving in and out. They would be, if they chose to be in a bargaining unit, be in a different bargaining unit than those whom they are supervising, and that's what the -3 amendments do.
So it takes away that conflict.
That's correct.
Okay. Question, yes?
And is this on a per school basis?
Yes. Isn't it?
Well, the bargaining units are at each of the institutions, so yes, in terms of, I can't speak for what the situation is at other institutions. I can only address the issue at OSU. The bargaining units would be set up at the universities. They're separate. At OSU, we have collective bargaining for the SEIU staff as well as the graduate students. The faculty, the tenure track research faculty, are not members of a bargaining of a union
at this time. And they may choose or not to.
That's correct.
That's their choice. But this says if a group of them choose it, if any of those are supervisors, they have to form their own one.
That is correct.
Okay. They can't be a part of this bigger group.
That is correct.
Okay. That's what I want to make sure of. And if that were true in other universities, this bill doesn't specifically say Oregon State. Therefore, it would apply to those depending on the conditions of their faculty.
I am going to venture into territory with which I'm not completely familiar, but at those institutions, and I believe somebody else who's familiar with the union should address that issue.
Well, that's good. Okay.
But you do have a number of unions at existing unions at other institutions, and the issue is some of those faculty may or may not be in the union, and I believe the language affects those faculty, but I'm not qualified to answer that question.
Okay. Any further questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have someone that would like to represent that from the perspective of the union that was involved in this? I'm not seeing the person I wanted to see, so. Okay. Oh, there you are. Sir, thanks. For whatever reason, I wasn't seeing you out there, so thank you.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Jessica Genentino, and I'm with the Oregon AFL-CIO. AFC Oregon couldn't be here today, but they just asked me to express their gratitude to both Senator Dimbrough, the U of O, and OSU for working with them to come to a compromise. And if there is a specific question, I'm happy to answer it if I can, but it might be helpful.
So my only thing is that this applies to all universities. Is that correct? Not just to those two. If we pass this, it'll affect any of them setting up to have union representation of different
subgroups. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Any other questions about that? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So with that, and that was the A3 amendments, I approved. Would you like to make the motion?
Sure, I'll make the motion for the A3s dated 5/26/17 to amend House Bill 3170.
So, Senator Lithgow moves the A3 amendments dated 5/26/17 to House Bill 3170. Any further discussion on the amendment?
Right.
Seeing none, any opposition to the amendment?
Oh, no.
Good. Okay. We're going to say that one has passed. Now we have a motion with the amendments. Do you want to make the motion? Whether you vote for it or not is different. Does not matter.
I'm glad this amendment is there, but I don't like the bill as it exists. I'll make it to get it onto the floor.
Okay.
We can throw darts at it that way.
Absolutely.
So, Chair, I would like to make a motion for House Bill 3170 to move to the floor.
As amended.
As amended.
Okay. Senator Lithgow moves House Bill. That'll work.
With a due pass.
With a due pass. Well, he doesn't.
I said to move to the floor.
Okay. Would you rather have him if he says due pass?
Well, she whispered with a due pass. I said no.
Okay.
So I can push it to the floor as is.
Right. I think we probably need to have a motion that says due pass. Would you like to make a motion, Senator Hess?
Chair Roblin, I move House Bill 3170 as amended to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Hess moves House Bill 3170 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. That being said, let's have a discussion about the amended bill. Senator Lithgow, do you want to start, or do you want to start? Senator Lithgow.
I think this is just problematic to have, you know, the collective bargaining happening in higher ed and include all. There are certainly organizations there, but to include these subsets where they've not been included before, including both the supervisory capacity and others in potentially similar bargaining units, but at the same university, we're going to end up with a slice of life through those various units at how many different universities, and the potential for conflicts is enormous. I would suggest this is an inappropriate tack for this body to take.
Okay. So what I would say is that I am pleased that the groups got together and had a conversation to make sure that they could identify different groups that needed to have representation or not representation, and so I'm pleased they came to that. We already have these people being represented at some universities in different ways, and I think this clarifies some things with regard to people who are supervising some, but making sure that if you're a supervisor of a person, you can't be in the same bargaining unit makes sense to me, because I just don't think that makes sense. So I understand what you're saying.
Right. Well, it'll be the number of bargaining units that get created out of this will, you know, I'm glad to see the dash A3 in there. However, that doesn't make it any better.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, I think we'll take a roll call vote on House Bill 3170.
Senator Gelser?
Yes.
Senator Haas?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
No.
Vice Chair Lipscomb?
No.
Chair Roblin?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Mr. Chair, we serve notice of potential minority report.
So just to put it on the record, Senator Cruz has moved the potential of a minority report. With
and
that,
we,
yes.
We have a time constraint on that.
Yes, you do.
So the time constraint is?
5 p.m. today.
5 p.m. today.
It'll be ready.
5 okay. p.m. today.
Okay. Thank you for that. With that, we will close our work session on notice is the way you have to do, not the.
No, no.
Yeah, okay. You do
notice is by 5 p.m. today, right. But okay. You've already covered that.
I thought you did, so just wanted to make sure. It is notice, not necessarily the
right.
Whole thing. Right.
I've done this before.
Okay. With that, we're going to close the work session on House Bill 3170. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 2701. And we're looking at the dash. We might as well have a discussion after we do it, but give a short explanation and the dash 11s?
Nine. Chair Roblin, members of the committee, House Bill 2701 eliminates probationary status designation for licensed private career schools and agents, changes terminology and statute from place licensee on probation to issue a notice for corrective action. The A9 amendment requires HEC to notify career schools that are the subject of investigations and engage with career schools and affected students during the investigation, prevents suspension or revocation of license until after a hearing officer determines that there is proper cause, takes effect July 1st, 2018.
So, Senator Lithgow.
I will make a motion that the A9 be amended to 2701. The A9 is dated 6/1/17.
So, Senator Lithgow moves the A9 amendment dated 6/1/17 to House Bill 2701. Discussion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So I appreciate the work on the bill. I understand that the proponents of the bill preferred the A5. I know we don't have the paperwork to move that today. I think the case that spurred this bill is very concerning, and I hope that the A9 is able to address that moving forward. But just wanted to put on the record that preference for the 5, so I'll probably oppose the amendment and support the bill.
The A5 is included in the A9?
Not the A5.
Not
it's
the
A7s that
A7s
are.
A7s is
right.
Included in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with that, I think I'm going to call up our representative from HEC to hear, because I want to make some things fairly clear to them about this. So, and they need to. So, as you have heard in the conversation, this bill's been going on for a while. And we have some concerns, not only with this group of organizations which you license at HEC, but with other groups that you license. And as we have found in our conversations, the process for revocation, license, all that kind of stuff, has different words, different terminology in multiple ones. That has made us all concerned at one time or another. And with this amendment, we give you a little bit of time before implementation to come back with us in the short session with an amendment or a bill that would. And this holds you to fire, because if you don't, this goes into effect. But also to get a hold of those other institutions, not only the ones that are private schools like the one that we have that brought the bill, all of those others, but others that you give that give licenses and certificates, to have a real conversation amongst them, to come up with a plan that works. And we did get a recommendation that the process that TSPC is now using with respect to investigations has a lot of protections, including the ability to keep confidential the information before there's actually something done. And I would ask you to look at that and look at other kinds of things as you have that conversation moving forward, because I think What has happened was, from my perspective, a little bit tragic in the way it was done. We'll never be able to know exactly. We weren't there. So, but our feeling, I think I speak for a number of the people on here, is that we want a process that treats people fairly, organizations and fairly, and that we look forward to something coming back in 18 to have a conversation about that has engaged the people who are being dealt with. We understand that you didn't have anything to do with the statutes that exist currently. HEC was not around when they were made, but it's time now to get that fixed up. So any comments that HEC would like to make to that?
Senator Roblin, members of the committee, Kyle Thomas, Director of Legislative and Policy Affairs for the HEC. I would say first that your summary is accurate, and in my statement, I won't comment on the TSPC statutes. I'm not familiar with the process at play. And you're correct. The terminology here that's used across types of entities that HEC regulates is misaligned. And you're also correct that it was an unintentional misalignment. That's just a vestige of how the systems became established and how they became to be regulated under two separate entities. But there is no doubt that that misalignment is confusing. It's confusing to the schools involved. It's confusing to members of the public. It's confusing to media. It's clearly also confusing to the legislature as well. The version of the bill that you have before you takes some steps to correct that confusion by altering the term probation, and it takes some other what we would view as important steps to codify some protections that already are by matter of process afforded to institutions throughout the investigations and sanctions process, and that is obviously the right of the subject of the complaint to be notified about the complaint, the right to be a party to the investigation and offer evidence on an institution's behalf, and now the right to have any sanction that we do impose stayed until after a hearing and a determination has been made that that sanction is appropriate. As you've indicated, we also recognize that there's an opportunity to pull some additional stakeholders into this process. You have heard throughout this session from a very concerned institution, but at this point only from one institution. And so the commitment that HEC has made in conjunction with the bill before you today is that we will put this question out to an advisory committee that we have that deals with issues of private career school governance. That advisory committee has majority membership of several career schools representing various educational fields, massage therapy, cosmetology, real estate, finance, medical and technical education fields. It has a geographic diversity, and those meetings are notice of those meetings is provided to members of that community that don't sit on the advisory committee. So the goal is that this process will be transparent and inclusive of all voices. It would be our goal to have recommendations ready for this committee and this assembly prior to that short session. And as you've already pointed out, this bill is going to take effect. So it would be those recommendations, perhaps, that would supersede any effect that this bill might have. I would like to point out one thing that you mentioned about confidentiality in reference to TSPC, and that is I would just like to highlight that the entire legislature has already passed and the governor has already signed House Bill 2457, which in the future allows us to keep complaints submitted and throughout the investigatory process confidential. As you have learned in the particular case that spurred this legislation, we had the inability to do that previously. We do now. And so I'll conclude my comments there and see if there are any questions.
So any questions?
No, I think the important part is the streamlining of the process in getting them synchronized because they're out of sync today, and including the right for those impacted organizations or parties or schools to have some recursion in the process before you slam a probation or other sanction on them. I think the fact that they've been left out and sanctions have been applied is completely inappropriate. Sanctions, you know, if you're going to be applying a sanction, the body certainly has the right to representation and due process, and that has been, you know, omitted or left out or otherwise, you know, skipped over is really problematic.
Okay.
Senator Rowland, Senator Linthicum, I agree that would be problematic. I do maintain that in the course of our current investigatory practices, that does occur. I understand that perception can vary, but certainly by codifying this, you are ensuring that that practice, which is non-existent in statute or rule currently, is upheld in future investigations.
My last one is I agree with that. I think with the confidentiality part, if that's something that we are going to use as an investigation goes on, then giving a letter of, what do we call it now?
A notice of corrective action.
As long as that isn't doing anything and it's confidential so the person can actually respond to it before anything like suspension or anything else is done, then I think it doesn't. But in our current process, because you didn't have the ability to keep it confidential, that notice, in the old case called probation, even though it may have not taken any action, its existence created a problem that I hope we, in the intern, before we figure out what we're finally going to do, would lead it to be not necessarily out there so that we could actually have that conversation before any action is taken. Does that make sense?
Senator Roblin, I think it does make sense. There is a very interesting policy question there, and that is at what point does this become a matter that is a public concern?
Right.
And so where do you draw that line it is a question we could not sit here and answer today, but is one that this group should consider.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, any other discussion? So we have up just the amendment. Is there any opposition to the amendment?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Senator Gelser, thank you. Is there any further discussion? So the amendment is adopted. Senator Linthicum, do you want to make the other motion?
Let's see. I will make the motion for House Bill 27 to the floor as amended.
2701.
Oh, so, excuse me. House Bill 2701 as amended with the A9 amendment to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you for that part. Senator Linthicum moves House Bill 2701. As amended by the A9 amendments dated 1-6-1-17 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, is there any further discussion?
It's a good thing he made the correction because there's never been a House Bill 27.
That's right. Yeah, thank you. Is there any opposition to this bill? Seeing none, so moved. Is there anyone that wants to carry this bill? I will carry the bill. So with that, we're going to close House Bill, the work session on 2701. I think I will make a quick open 3170, just for the purpose of saying that I didn't assign a carrier. So I will carry 3170 and or Senator Dembro, and I'll talk to him about it.
Right.
Because this is,
that would be my first choice. Either.
Right. But I haven't asked him, so
right.
I will ask him first, and then we can change that. Any further discussion? Yes.
They have 1 hour to request their draft amendment from LC. So 1 hour after adjournment, they have to request their draft amendment.
Ah, okay. So just so I make this, I'm going to close. Oh, it's the right one. So the minority report has to be.
You have to request the draft amendment from LC within 1 hour of adjournment.
Okay. You have to request the amendment from LC within 1 hour.
Of the convening.
Okay. Yes. You knew all this, but I just wanted to make sure it was on the record.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we've got that.
It is being taken care of as we speak.
Okay. And if you need any help, Lisa's here to help you. If you need anything else.
I think it is probably already done. So.
Okay. So with that, we'll close the work session on 3170. Is there anything else that you want to say? When do we have our next meeting? Do we have it on Monday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, I mean. And what's that one? Is that the... So on Tuesday of next week, we will have a presentation, informational hearing on the eclipse that's coming. There's a lot of work, I think, happening in schools to explain about it, and we're going to have a little more talk about that
on that day.
Astrophysicist from
University of Oregon.
University of Oregon is going to come and talk to us. I'm still trying to get glasses for all of you.
I'm working on that.
Okay, we're working on that.
You haven't already ordered your glasses?
My glasses. I was trying to figure out how to get them other way.
I'm covered. I have a welding helmet.
Oh, that's, there you go. Yeah. So with that, we will close our Senate Education Committee this day, June 1st, 2017.